Imagine if today was the day your idea changed someone's life. Imagine if you could help someone pay for college, help your community build a new playground, or help a child make it to that dream competition. With GoFundMe, it's all possible. GoFundMe is the world's number one fundraising platform trusted by over 190 million people. Every week, ordinary people meet their goals and do extraordinary things. Your ideas matter. GoFundMe isn't just for emergencies. Want to raise money for your kid's soccer team or raise funds for a small business, a creative project, or event? GoFundMe helps you turn ideas into reality. And help adds up. Fundraisers you start for someone else raise up to 5 times more. So think right now, who could use your help? Change rarely comes from waiting. It comes from someone deciding, today I'll start. Don't wait for someone else to bring change. Today, start your fundraiser in just minutes at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com to start your fundraiser. GoFundMe.com. This is a commercial message brought to you by GoFundMe.
Hello, word nerds, and welcome to the dictionary. We got more new words added to the Oxford Dictionary in March of 2025. My name is Spencer. This is the dictionary. It's the dictionary. The dictionary is this. This is it. This is it. All right, let's talk about some words. The first word is gatvol. G-A-T-V-O-L. Gatvol. 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 This is an adjective, and it is having had enough of a person or situation. I've had enough of this person or this situation. Also, extremely annoyed, unhappy, or bored, especially with a state of affairs that has persisted for a long time. Ellipses. If you don't understand this ellipses thing, go listen to the first of the pre-G words. The pre-G bonus episodes. I'm just done with this. I don't care about this anymore. I'm bored with it. I'm unhappy. I'm annoyed. This is a gadvol situation? How do you use this in a sentence? Gadvol is a slang word of Afrikaans origin. I looked it up. I went to the Google. Adopted into South African English, meaning completely fed up or having had enough of a person or a situation. For example, a South African might say, I am gatvol of this traffic. where does it come from? From the Afrikaans word gat, G-A-T, meaning whole or belly, and vol, meaning full. So, like, my belly is full of this thing. Oh, I'm so gatvol over this food because my, in this literal situation, because my belly is full. It signifies being completely full to the point of being unable to take any more, much like the English phrase, I've had a gutful. Ah, okay, gutful. And I apologize if I am pronouncing this wrong, but it's a gatvol is what it looks like to me. So you can say, I am gatvol. I am gatvol. I am gatvol. I am gatvol. When I'm just I'm full up with something. I hope you're not gatvol of this podcast. If you are listening to this, then you're probably not gatvol of this podcast. But I am gatvol of certain things, like, oh, you know, just the standard thing of this friggin' presidential administration. Anything else I'm gatvol of? I don't know. That's a pretty good one. All right. Now let's go on to gelatin filter. Two words, noun. We are using this word in the photography and the theater world. And it is a light filter made from a translucent sheet of material, originally gelatin, and now usually polyester or polycarbonate, .. So there's more, but I think we got enough of it. It's a light filter. So it's some sort of filter that you put on in front of your lights to give the light some sort of effect. Back in the day, it was made of gelatin, which is why it's called a gelatin filter. But now we're not making it out of gelatin. We don't need to murder animals and use their bones and stuff in the gelatin, which, if you didn't know, that is what is used in gelatin. So, but what does it do? Let's look up, what does the gelatin filter do? Why are people using this? A gelatin filter is a water-soluble filter used for capturing and culturing, culturing airborne microorganisms, or for creating optical effects in photography. That dissolves after use. But I think, I would suspect that the, here we go. So microbiology, that's one place where this is being used. Gelatin filters are used in devices like the MD8 air sampler to capture microorganisms and viruses from the air. But in photography, gelatin filters are placed in a filter holder, usually at the back of the lens, to apply effects to the image. They are lightweight, can be less expensive. Unlike glass, gelatin filters are delicate and difficult to clean. Oh, best used for single use or careful handling. But it doesn't really say what sort of effect in photography it's doing. It just optical effects. Maybe there are different types for different types of optical effects. If this is something you are curious about, you should go look it up further. Do some more research. All right, now we have gelatina. Gelatina. There's got to be some joke with Tina from Bob's Burgers, or like a gelatinous version of Tina would be a gelatina. Anyway, this is a noun, and it is a jelly made by boiling animal tissues or fruits. And a jelly of this kind is a gelatina. So yes, literally it says boiling animal tissues or fruits to create this sort of jelly that you can call a gelatina. It seems much nicer and fancier than just regular gelatin. Gelatina. Is this a new thing? That's why it's being added to the dictionary? Now we have Gen Alpha. Gen Alpha. Now they couldn't put in Generation Alpha, because why would we say the whole thing? We just say Gen Alpha. This is two words. The first letters are capitalized. It is a noun, and it is a term used to describe the generation of people born between the early 2010s and the mid-2020s, and following Generation Z, noted in particular as ... So that seems like actually quite a lot of years for Gen Alpha. It sort of seems like the generations are getting shorter and shorter, which is maybe true, but I don't know. That seems like basically 15 years for Gen Alpha. So let's see. We got the baby boomers. They started in about 45 to, I think, around 70, 1970. So what would that be? 20? That was like 25 years. And then we got Generation X, which I think is maybe starting in 70, 75 and going until, can my brain do this? 90 or 95, maybe, I'm guessing. We have a sub-generation called Xennial, which I am part of, which is like 1977 to 1983. Because then we have Generation Millennial. I don't know if we ever say Generation Millennial, Gen Mill. We just say the Millennials. But I think they start around maybe 1990 or so and go until, 2000-ish? I don't really know the years. Maybe 85 to 2000. So I'm like sort of millennial, but I'm also sort of X, so I'm Xennial. And then we have, I guess it's Generation Z, which would be probably about 2000 to about 2010-ish. And then we have Gen Alpha. So what, we went boomer, X, millennial, Z. We skipped Y, I think. Did we have a generation Y? And then we went all the way back to the beginning of the alphabet with the A's, the alpha. We've got to use the Greek term, alpha. So what's next? Is Gen Beta next? Which I guess would be the mid-2020s, like right now. Babies being born right now would be the next generation. We have no idea what they're going to be like anyway. Gen Alpha, those are the kids these days. I think my niece is definitely Gen Alpha, because she was born at the beginning of that time period. All right, next. Is this podcast for good for Gen Alpha? Probably not. Is it good for anybody? Probably not. Next, we have general practice, noun. It is a medical practice not restricted to one branch of the profession. The activities of a general practitioner typically specializing in primary care, ... They just know all the stuff. They just know a little bit about all the stuff. They are jack of all trades, master of none when it comes to medicine. I don't know how I feel about a doctor being not a master of a thing, but that's sort of the point of the general practice, the general practitioner, that they just know enough about all of the things that they can help you get started on your medical journey with whatever it is that you're dealing with. You got a cough, you got a, maybe not a broken bone necessarily, you want to go to the emergency room for that, but they're like, yeah, you know what, I have a pretty good idea of what you're dealing with. I'm going to send you to a specialist because I'm a general, I work in a general practice situation for the medical stuff. General practice. You know, your primary care physician is probably in a general practice. Next. Now, this is interesting. We have Generation Alpha. The full term, here we go, listed all out. Noun. It is a term used to describe the generation of people born between the early 2010s and the mid-2020s, and following Generation Z, noted in particular as ... And, you know, that's the same definition as before, but maybe we should just look up Generation Alpha. What are the specifics? What are the key characteristics of Gen Al? Technologically savvy. They have grown up with technology. I mean, the last few generations have definitely grown up with tech. Diverse. Gen Alpha is the most diverse generation in history, with greater diversity in race, ethnicity, and family structures. I am very confused by that. How is that even possible? Because, also, is this just an American thing? I don't think so. But it seems like it's a pretty worldwide idea of this generation, because there are people all over the world who have technology, and the kids in those places are probably very similar, depending on, I guess, class. That was class with a C. Entered most diverse. I'm not sure about that. Digital natives. Very similar to technologically savvy. They are adept at consuming short-form video content, interacting with social media platforms, and even using AI for information and entertainment. I guess this is where the world is going. There are some kids who are just not. They're like, no, I don't want to do any of that stuff. But yes, most of them, I guess, are like, yes, just give me 5 seconds of content here and 5 seconds of content here and la la la. Impacted by the pandemic. Well, everybody was, but they were very impacted because they were very young during the pandemic, and that affected them. That had a big effect on their sociality, being social. Consumer phenomenon. Their increasing numbers and digital savviness make them a growing consumer demographic. There's a few other things, but we don't need to go fully deep into that. You should do some more research if you're curious. So, Generation Alpha. I feel like if I really wanted to get connected with those Gen Alpha kids, I would just make very short content of just blah, I can't do that. Nope, not going to do it. Sorry. Not for me. Next we have Gigil. G-I-G-I-L. Gigil, is that how you pronounce this word? It is a noun and an adjective, and it is an intense feeling caused by anger, eagerness, or the pleasure of seeing someone or something cute or adorable, typically physically manifested by dot, dot, dot. Okay, I think we all are aware of this. I did not know there was a word for it. This is like, there is the perfect example of this, and I can put this in the show notes if you, would you like me to do that? Just let me know. There is a Key and Peele sketch where they are so, they're playing women, and they are so flabbergasted, the puppies are so cute. The puppies are so cute that they want to literally murder the puppies. So that is Gigil. I am so angry because something is so cute. Oh my gosh, that thing is so cute. It makes me angry. Gigil? Oh, I just had a giggle. I'm feeling so giggled today because the animals are so cute. It makes me angry. Oh boy. Gigil. I don't know how to use this in a sentence. Use it in a sentence, please. Gigil? Okay, Gigil. Next we have Grawlix. G-R-A-W-L-I-X. This is a noun, and it is a random string of typographical symbols used in place of an obscenity, especially in comic strips. So, examples of these typographical symbols would be the percentage sign, the at symbol, the money symbol, the ampersand, the asterisk, and the exclamation mark, which I often just call the bang symbol. Somebody told me that. So, yes, in comic strips, when they want to swear or they're so angry it's like they're swearing, they just put a bunch of those symbols above the numbers on the keyboard, and that's called Grawlix. And I feel like maybe I've heard of that term before, but definitely this is not part of my day-to-day life. So I don't know. I think maybe we should just use this verbally, even though this is a text thing. I think we should say Grawlix instead of swears. Oh, Grawlix. I'm so giggle. Grawlix. Next, we have Guanabana. I'm just going to say that's how it's pronounced. It could be Guanabana. No, it's probably Guanabana. It's really just spelled like it sounds. Noun. And this is the large, fleshy fruit of the soursop tree, Annona muricata, which has a prickly, dark green skin and white pulp with a sweet, slightly acidic dot, dot, dot. I'm going to assume flavor is the next word in that sentence. And I gotta look up a picture of a guanabana. Oh boy, this is a fun word to say. I guess it's also called soursop because it said it's from the soursop tree, I think. It's also called graviola. Another similar name would be guayabano, G-U-Y-A-B-A-N-O, guayabano. My mouth is not wanting to do it. And guanabana. There's an accent on that middle A. So would it be guanabana? Oh, guanabana. Boop, boop, ba-doo-doo. Guanabana. Oh, boy, this is a great word. How can you not love saying guanabana or guanabana? Either way, it's pretty great. Ooh, it's a tropical fruit with a strong flavor, often compared to a mix of pineapple and strawberry. Pineapple and strawberry. I would like to try this guanabana. Doo, 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 doo. Next we have, now I don't know how to pronounce this, gooey, G-U-E-Y, and there is an umlaut over the U, gooey, something like that. This is a noun. It is a slang, sometimes derogatory, so keep that in mind, everybody. This is in Mexican context and Mexican-American usage. It is a foolish or stupid person, an idiot. Later, also in neutral or positive use, a person, especially a man, dot, dot, dot. What is a GUI? Let's just do a quick look up. Look up of GUI. Or the more common spelling, yeah, that's way. Means dude, man, guy, when used informally among friends. But we know, we've heard, that it is also possibly derogatory. So, maybe don't necessarily use this. It derives from the Spanish word bue. Bue? Bue? Which means ox or bullock. And in certain contexts, with a particular tone, can carry a derogatory meaning like idiot or dumbass. Ah, you gue. Now, I don't know how to pronounce it. Let's see. I guess we could just look up pronunciation. Might have to. Let's see. Gue is pronounced like the English word way. Gue? Oh, gue, I guess. Well, there we go. Or no, maybe there's no G sound at all. It's literally just way. The G is pronounced like a W, not a hard G. Way is just way. Okay, I'm so sorry, everybody. ¿Qué pasa, way? That's an example sentence. What's up, dude? Or, ¿qué way? You fool. What the heck? Way. All right. Good to know. Good to know. There are some letters in Spanish that are not necessarily pronounced how you would think that they would be pronounced. But yeah, good to know. Way, spelled G-U-E-Y with the two dots over the U. The two dots over the U. The two dots over the U are called an umlaut. Sometimes. Next we have, well, here's that other word. So guanabana, the other spelling, I guess, is, or word, is guayabano. And I don't know how to pronounce this. Maybe it's, would it be guayabano? Or Guyabano? No, definitely not that one. Guyabano. Noun. The large fleshy fruit of the soursop tree. Also the tree itself. And it says go see Guanabana or Guanabana. 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 Ba-ba-de-boop-boop. Next we have, how do you pronounce this word? Guyed? Guide? Maybe it's guide. Oh, yes. G-U-Y-E-D. Adjective. We're talking about a structure or a part of a structure of a structure. It means fitted with one or several guy ropes, wires, rods, etc., typically fixed into the ground in order to ensure a secure dot, dot, dot. Just to make it secure. That's it. So, guy ropes. Now, I feel like I've heard of guide ropes. Is this a different thing, or have I misheard it? Guide ropes? So, when you're using these guy ropes, G-U-Y, in what are a structure, I guess, a bridge maybe. When you're using those ropes, you've put them in place, the wires, the rods and stuff. You're like, now my structure is guide. It's a guide structure because it's using those things. There we go. That's guide. Next we have guyhood. The word is G-U-Y, which looks very strange. Between the spelling and the pronunciation, my brain is like, what? Looks like gooey, but it's guy. Guyhood, noun, chiefly North American, and this is the quality, state, or condition of being a man, especially with typically humorous reference to male stereotypical dot, dot, dot. I would like to know the rest of that definition. Guyhood. It immediately wants to go to the movie Boyhood. No. I don't want the movie Boyhood. I want guyhood. The state of being a guy or a man. What does that even friggin' mean? I mean, come on. Such a guy. Okay, whatever. The concept of 1950s guyhood involved certain expectations of masculinity, such as fixing cars and playing sports. Well, I guess I have no guyhood in 1950s context. Things have changed a lot, which is great. Largely, I guess. Okay, next we have, wow, we got a lot of guy words. Here we go. We've got guying. It is a noun, the first form, and it is the action of guy. Now, this is not being a dude, man, guy. This is from the verb guidance, steering, guiding a thing, like the ropes and the rods and the wires. So the action of doing that is guying. But we also have, so that's the noun, which is the action, but we also have guying, noun, second form, which is the action or process of fixing a structure to a surface or the ground using one or several guy ropes, wires, rods, etc., in order to, dot, 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 in order to make it from not falling down. Guying. So, now it makes me so curious to know, is there a connection to this idea of connecting a structure, making it solid, or also the action of guidance and steering, and then the idea of the guy, the man? Was there some sort of etymological evolution there, that the word guy for a dude, a man, came from this guidance steering? I mean, you know, the first example I can think of is like in dance, you know, typically, stereotypically, we got a man and a woman, and the man is guiding, the man is leading. So I could see it there, but also like, you know, in a very patriarchal way, you know, guiding the world, guiding the relationship, guiding what happens at the home, whatever it is, that that I could see that possibly the word guy comes from all of that. Which, you know, I don't really care for that. I think anybody can guide their life, their family's lives, the world, if they want, whatever. Anyway, it's just kind of an interesting etymological thing, I guess. Next, we have guyish. Adjective, chiefly North American, and this is having characteristics or interests that are stereotypically associated with men, such as being dot, dot, dot. Well, I think we are aware of what those stereotypical things are. Cars and sports. And so I am not guyish in that way at all. Okay, next we have guyliner. Noun, this is eyeliner that is worn by men. Why you gotta call it guyliner? I mean, that's like those, they're guy wipes and other things that are made for men, but they're exactly the same as the other stuff, really? I don't know. Maybe there's less scents. Maybe typical guys want less smells. But yes, guyliner, eyeliner that is worn by men. It's eyeliner is typically, stereotypically, such a feminine thing. What I'm getting at is there's such a meeting of worlds here that seems so that don't seem to work well together. The very stereotypical male and female, you know, obviously I do not agree with this idea at all. I am all for guyliner. If you want to wear guyliner, that's fine. It's just an interesting idea of the very feminine and the very masculine coming together to create this idea of guyliner. So anyway, is that another just kind of interesting thing that language is funny. I don't think I've ever worn eyeliner. Did I? I can't think of any situation where I would have. We just went to a play. We went to a musical. And, you know, it's very common for just everybody to be not just wearing makeup, but eyeliner, I think, to make the eyes really pop. And so all the guys in the show were wearing eyeliner. And we were right up in front, so it was just very noticeable. Okay, next we have guyness. Similar probably to guyish. Guyness is a noun, and it is the quality, state, or condition of being a man, especially with reference to male stereotypical characteristics or interests, which I think is the same definition, really, as guyish. So, yes. How much guyness do you have? I guess I'm very low on the guyness scale because I am not interested in the sports or the cars, really. I mean, they're fun to watch. The sports are fun to watch, but I just don't care who wins. Can't they all win? Can't it just always be a tie? Okay, next we have hard. No. This is half boiled egg. They tricked me. This is half boiled egg. It is a noun, and this is in Malaysian and Singaporean cookery. It is an egg which has been cooked briefly in freshly boiled water such that the yolk and the white remain runny. And then there's a dot, dot, dot. Half-boiled egg. We are going to look this up, and I am very curious. Oh, and I spelled boiled wrong. Anything else to say? Because of the dot, 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 I just wanted to learn a little bit more. It's also just known as a soft-boiled egg instead of a hard-boiled egg. So I guess some people just like to say half-boiled. Cooked just long enough for the whites to set while the yolk remains runny or custardy. It's got that more gelatinous consistency, I guess. Texture can range from a very runny yolk, about 4 minutes, to a softer, jammy consistency, around 7 minutes. To be honest, I don't know how long you cook a hard-boiled egg for. I watched a movie last night, and it takes place in the 70s, and there was a guy who was making hard-boiled eggs. And I was thinking to myself, Spencer, have you ever made hard-boiled eggs? I don't believe so. Let's just look up, because you probably already know this, how long to cook hard-boiled eggs. Thanks for the filling in. A hard-boiled egg should be cooled in an ice bath for... Well, that's not... Oh, cooled in an ice bath for 10 to 15 minutes to stop the cooking process. Well, that would be afterwards. Oh, here's some pictures. This is a very wonderful picture because it looks like it will include the soft-boiled eggs. Yes, here we go. Okay, so this depends on your personal preference. Of course, it says 6 minutes for jammy eggs. Can you imagine going to a restaurant and say, can I have jammy eggs? So obviously, it shows a picture of the yolk and everything and with the text next to it. Okay. So 4 minutes, it doesn't have text on how to describe the yolk, but we learned that it's a little bit, it's a bit runny maybe for 4 minutes. 6 minutes will get you jammy eggs. 8 minutes is mostly jammy, but some more cooked areas of yolk. 10 minutes is mostly cooked, but some jammy areas of yolk. And 12 minutes is fully hard-boiled eggs with a firm yolk. And I don't eat the eggs anymore, but this is a very interesting thing to know. And also, the color changes. The 4 minutes is very orange, pretty orange, and the 12 minutes is pretty yellow. So I guess if you care what color your yolk is, then that's another thing that you can think about. All right, one more word for this episode. It's the word hoovering. This is a noun, and it is the action or an act of cleaning a floor with a hoover. And we should point out that this is the Oxford English Dictionary, which I believe is very British. And so they call all of the vacuum cleaners, they call them hoovers. And so if you are vacuuming, then you are hoovering in Britain. Yeah. Oh, excuse me. I just have to go do some hoovering. I'm going to hoover up the glass that spilled on the floor. The dust. Anyway, hoovering. That's it. Okay. Oh, the next word that will be in the next episode looks very interesting. Okay. So those were all of the words. Thank you so much. for letting me read these to you. And hopefully you got some additional information. You got some new stuff that you can talk to people about if you so wish. Oh, have you ever heard of Guanabana? Oh, that's the best word. Okay. Anyway, we gotta stop this now. Until next time, this is Spencer dispensing information. Goodbye.